Now, I'm very pleased to say a legend of Charlton Live. He was in this chair way before I was, when it was Charlton Chat. Steve Sutherland,
good evening, Steve. How are you doing?
How you doing? I'm very well. How are you guys? Well,
all good too, Steve. Thank you, mate.
Good.
Busy week for you. You've been out in the States.
Yeah, I've been with Jason Morgan. We've been in Philadelphia. We went last Sunday early morning. And came home early morning on Friday, so it was it was quite an intense week, but it was fantastic for the trust to be recognised in that way. So we were up for an award, and Jason and I went and took part in a load of workshops and presentations and panel discussions, and it was well worth us going, and a great profile for the work of the trust.
And what, it was beyond football, wasn't it?
Beyond Sports, I think.
Beyond Sports. It's a global organisation. It actually promotes basically what the trust does. It develops and supports the use of sport to create social change across the world. So it's an annual event. Last year it was in London, actually. So next year it's in Cape Town. So they do move it around. And we were invited to submit an award because, you know, Charlton's Trust are the current Community Club of the Year, of course.
Yeah.
And we were approached that we should consider putting in for this. So we did and got shortlisted. Up against such well-known sporting brands as San Francisco 49ers and Toronto Blue Jays and the Saracens from the UK. So
I think to put it into perspective, Steve, for everybody listening, is that it wasn't just... I mean, it was a worldwide, a global event. So, you know, over 350 organisations put themselves forward for
over
it.
350, there were several award categories, and over 350 organisations put themselves forward. So, yeah, to be one of four... It was a category called Sports Team of the Year, which sort of seems a strange one for a trust to go in, but it really... It's the title they gave to an overarching title to the work that clubs do in the community and the positive effect they have. So we were shortlisted because the judges thought Charlton's respected presence in the community and the work it does in areas like disability and education and health and crime reduction stood it out, which, you know, we're proud that it does. And so when it's recognised in this way and we're invited to the summit, you know, we were pleased to go. So I accompanied Jason Morgan.
I mean, Steve, does an event like this also enable you to, as good as the trust is and for the fantastic work that it does it enable you to look at what others do and maybe pick up a few
undoubtedly.
Ideas?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we are proud of what we do. And as you know, I've been involved with it more or less since it started 20 years ago, even though I was at the Football League then when Jason started. He came to see me and we just hit it off, and I've been involved with the Trust ever since then, really. Well, of course, the Trust was only formed in 2006. We ring-fenced the work of the community by creating it into a new charity, and that was Peter Varley and I sort of put that together with Jason, and so... But community work's been going for 20 years, of course. But we're not, no one at the Trust is arrogant enough to think they can't learn anything. So to go out with such respected organisations, sporting organisations as this, you can always learn. And it was fascinating to see the work of the American sports. It was quite an incredible time to be there because the Philadelphia Eagles were at home and... I mean, everything is American football there, which I haven't got a clue about. It's absolutely baffling to me. But the whole city was just massively getting behind their football team. So it was a great sporting time to be in Philadelphia.
Is and not just obviously they follow the football team massively, but the whole scale of what they do in the States, does that show up also in the sort of trust organisation that they have? Is everything just done on a huge scale?
It is done on a big scale, but they were it's fair to say, and they were blown away by the numbers, the sheer numbers that we see. You know, when Jason actually sat on a panel discussion there's a lot of breakout groups and round table discussions that I took part in, and Jason and I took part in. But Jason actually sat on one panel, which was what, it was actually a rugby focused day, but the panel that Jason sat on was what can rugby learn from other sports. And when Jason started talking about 10,000 people, young people a week coming through the various programs, they absolutely were blown away by that. The sheer numbers of it. And then, of course, he started talking about the South Africa program, which is an amazing initiative. And so people were extremely impressed. But, yeah, everything is done on a big scale out there, but then you'd expect that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, true, I suppose. I mean, it must have been heartening as well, because, I mean, Beyond Sports organisation is based in the States, I think, so...
No, it's a London-based.
Oh, is it? Okay, I thought their head office was in Illinois or somewhere.
Yeah, no, it's a London-based.
They're
actually a Brit who set it up, and it's grown and grown, and now it's sort of the recognised awards and summit for it's well named Beyond Sport. It's really taking sport and what can sport do to affect social change. And I mean, the last few days were incredible when it was building up to the awards itself. But Senator George Mitchell opened the award ceremony. You know, that type of caliber of people were getting behind it, and you know, we knew Gordon from the Saracens. Actually,
he's got a great name, hasn't he?
His name's Gordon Banks. Yeah, so obviously he goes through that a little bit.
Yeah,
but, Gordon, when he started at Saracens, he came to see us at Charlton. I remember Gordon coming and spending a morning with me. And he said, it's been 11 years since we saw each other, but, you know, we got on great, and there was a lot of friendly rivalry, and we really wanted it to bring it back to the UK. So if it couldn't be us, it would be nice if it was Saracens. Mm-hmm. But Toronto do a fantastic amount of work in their community, and they were worthy winners. But it was really exciting. I felt like an Oscar nominee. You know, you're sitting there, and the nominees are, you know, and you think, yeah, we it'd be lovely to win this. But
did you have a speech ready just in case?
Fortunately, Jason was going to go up.
Did you perfect the content loser?
Oh, I looked. I looked magnanimous.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh no, I perfected that in the mirror for hours. That sort of magnanimous look. Well, you know, it's disappointing, but we've done well. But I mean, I tweeted. I don't know if any of you were following that, but I tweeted afterwards a picture of the losers. I actually called it losers. And, It was Jason with Joanne from 49ers and Gordon, and from Saracens, and it was that type of week. Everyone was in competition, but everyone was really getting on. You know,
it's a great opportunity to do a bit of networking as well. Maybe establish links.
Oh, it's a huge opportunity for networking for everybody there. You know, and we've made a lot of contacts, and a lot of people want to come and see the Trust in action, and. In fact, San Francisco 49ers are playing at Wembley, I think, in October. So
I shall be there.
We're hoping we'll go and catch up with them. But, it was, as I say, you can't really overestimate what it was for the Trust Charlton scheme to be recognised and to be actually out there and sitting amongst that sort of organisation. If I tell you that the some of the other winners were Sky Television, and the London Olympic Organising Committee for their work in sustainability. They were award winners. So it's that level of...
That's high calibre, isn't it?
That level of calibre, you know?
Was there anything... I mean, obviously, other than the benefits of looking at what other trusts do or what other organisations do, was there any sort of tangible benefit for once you get awarded? Is there something... I'm not talking about prize necessarily.
Well, if you win, there's quite a raft of... I mean, there's a cash prize, but there's also... assistance from corporate assistance in terms of advisors, key advisors to help you take your project on even further. And so apart from, there was no sort of prize for being nominated, apart from the fact that you spent a week learning from each other.
Mm-hmm. Which money can't buy, really, can
it? Which money can't buy. You know, you are in a, I mean, it's a big hotel we were in. It was in the Lowe's Hotel in Philadelphia, but... you met afterwards and in the bars, and that's where, as you guys know, if you've been on conferences, that's where a lot of the good work's done, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you sit and listen to speakers, and then you go to the bar and actually talk to people and get things done
and sort things out. Well, I'd love to know a little bit more about you, and you swap business cards, and as I say, but what was pleasing to Jason and I, and obviously, you know, I'm not full-time at the Trust. I'm fortunate now to be the ambassador for it, but... when you go all that way and people have heard of you and they know the work of the Trust, it does make you feel very proud for Charlton Athletic. You know, that people are aware of the enormity and the great work and the reputation that you've got. And that's from all around the world. I mean, you know, there were applicants from India and Afghanistan and beyond, even. And you just think, blimey, people know about the work of the Charlton Athletic Community Trust, and that's very...
Everyone says little old Charlton, but the community, our community trust, I mean, as you said, the figures, 10,000 people being helped in some way during the week. I mean, we come here on a Thursday night and a Sunday night, and the youth clubs are running here, and of course the trust has now taken over the running of all the youth clubs in Greenwich, so it's not just... There's so much going on.
I mean, that's the first time a football club's ever run the council's youth services, so... you know, and that's also what's happening with disability. So it is incredible, and of course, the Charlton Athletic have been the leaders and the first, if you like. Kick It Out started at Charlton.
Yeah, it did.
You know, and a lot of people don't realise that. And when you go to a conference, have you heard of Kick It Out? Yes. Well, we started it.
Yeah.
Really? And you know, it's one of those.
And the knife crime initiative that's been... I mean,
well, the knife crime...
We've got
the Millwall game
coming up on Saturday with the two families. Maybe you want to explain a bit more about that.
Again, that was... People knew about the street violence ruins lives, and that came from the tragic death of Rob Knox, of course, the Charlton fan, the Harry Potter actor, as he famously became known as. And you know, that was in 2008. And that came from an idea Jason and I had when we heard of Rob's tragic death. And now it's a fully fledged crime reduction program that is the envy of other clubs, you know. And yes, we're playing... There's a lot of synergy between two families, and that's the Mizzen and the Knox families.
Well, Terry and I witnessed that the last time we played Millwall, when both the families were here, and we interviewed them both together, and we could see the way the two, you know, the they were Charlton fans and Millwall fans, but they were two families united in one cause.
Exactly right. I couldn't have put that better. That is exactly it. And obviously, they both families do a phenomenal amount of work in trying to make sure this tragic activity that stops, you know, knife crime and carrying knives and gang membership and the Millwall game gives us a chance to sort of for the two families to come together. And it's not the official Street Violence Ruins Lives Day, because we're probably going to have that later in the season. But the Millwall game gives you an opportunity for the two families to come together to actually showcase what both clubs are doing in trying to combat knife crime. But as I was saying, when you're in Philadelphia and people have heard of it, it does give you a lot of satisfaction.
Well, especially,
and it's great for Jason, because obviously
he don't get up much, does he?
You know, no, but you know, famously with a bag of balls 20 years ago, Jason started it. You know, and although I was telling him on the plane over, well, I actually started it with community talks with Roger Ham of the Woolwich Equitable Building Society when they were our sponsors when I first started at the club. And I started doing things like the Bexley Show, and older fans might remember coming and seeing us acting the fool at the Bexley Show. Well, that was the genesis of it, but obviously Jason started it 20 years ago when he arrived in 92. So it was great for Jason to see that the programme that he started on his own is now such a huge organisation as respect of...
Can I just find out something? I mean, I've seen you and Jason about the club for... a long, long time. Terry and I have been around for a while. We've aged a lot. You two, I don't understand it. Jason doesn't look that much, and yourself, other than minus the tash. Minus the dodgy tash.
Well, actually, the Gordon Banks. He actually said, I haven't seen you in 11 years, and you haven't aged.
I'd like to say in my defence that I might have looked that, but I looked this old when I started. So I haven't aged either.
Well, having spent a week where we shared a room, I can assure you it's not Greece in 2000.
you've got to be justifiably proud, both yourself and Jason, because, you only have to look at the panel, the ambassadors panel, that actually decides who is shortlisted and then decides who wins.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
It's made up of Tony Blair and Archbishop Tutu.
Tony Blair wasn't the judging panel, but he's actually chairman of the whole thing.
It's just a who's who of big people.
Yeah, but last year Beckham gave the prizes out, and so this year in Philadelphia we had Will Greenwood, the rugby World Cup winner,
who
I have to say is a fantastic speaker and very, very funny. And a guy called Brian Dawkins. Now, if you're into American football, which, as I said earlier, I'm not, but he is absolutely God. He's an ex-Philadelphia player, and he's huge. And so it was him and Will Greenwood who gave who actually announced the winners and gave the prizes out.
Excellent. Thanks very much, Steve. Now, listen, we're going to have you back in the studio itself in a few weeks. We've got to sort out the finer details with yourself and Clive Richardson. Clive R's coming in as well, hopefully.
Don't, please. Promise me. I'll only come if you promise me you can't bring any of those records.
We're not allowed to play any soul music. There's no music on Charlton Live. although we're going to let you choose them for the Trust Show, aren't we? We're going to sit down with you and do a little interview with.
That'd be great fun. That'd be smashing. But in all honesty, no. He's a smashing leg, Clive, and loves his Charlton, and they were happy days.
Because without you and Clive, we wouldn't be sitting
that's
here today.
That's kind of you. That's kind of you. But it was it was groundbreaking. It was the first ever one club, one radio station, radio show. So it was the first ever club radio show, and we were proud of that. And
it had an impact in many ways.
You're not going to go into that now, are you?
We're not going to discuss Mike Flanagan at all.
That's been done. But every Sunday night, it's all very well for you sitting down there in the Comfrey Valley, but every Sunday night...
I know where you were,
I was in the middle of a housing estate in Thamesmead.
In the flat.
I needed to lay a paper trail to find it. It was
hard, wasn't it, that studio?
Right, deep in there, and it was a masonette, which I think they're knocking down that area now.
Yeah, because they moved from the masonette to the...
They're putting a blue plaque on for you guys, aren't they?
I'm a little bit disappointed by that.
But the thing is, you used to get quite a few players come down, didn't you, on a Sunday night?
I used to meet them at the Crest Hotel.
As an armed guard.
Now, the Black Prince. I used to meet them there and let them leave their cars there. So I said, no, I'll meet you there, and then you'll never find it otherwise, because I couldn't ask players to come and drive there. They'd never have found it anyway.
They'd have looked and drove the other way.
Probably. But we had a great time, and everyone, don't forget the club was much smaller then in terms of the people at the club.
It was much smaller.
You know, there were only eight of us working there, and the players, there was a camaraderie between us that still exists. You know, when I bump into Sellers Park players, as I call them, we're all together at Sellers Park, us in the porter cabin, them playing there, and there's a camaraderie that when I ask them to come and help me on a Sunday, they knew the importance of it, and to a man, they all did.
Yeah, to be fair to this current bunch of players, they know about us and actually trust us now, and so they're quite happy to talk to us.
Players have to trust you that you're not going to show them up or embarrass them.
That's not what we're about. We've got Dave to show up and embarrass. It's not a problem.
Exactly. Well, I was going to say.
Steve, thanks very much, and we'll speak
to you
soon.
You're very welcome.
And we'll see you in the studio on a Sunday night with Clive R. And we'll go back over the Charlton Chat days and the Charlton Live.
What I try and do is I try and dig an old... Well, it would have been a cassette in those days.
Oh, go on.
We used to record some of the shows, but I don't know where they are, but I'll try and dig one.
Louis looking at us like, what, cassette? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
No idea. No idea at all.
We'll have to get Vic from Charlton on the phone, won't we, that night?
Oh, no. I once had a surreal argument with Vic from Charlton that John he was insisting that John Huey was our first ever black player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll leave you with
that. Yeah, I know, I remember.
Steve, thanks very much. An absolute pleasure. And congratulations to the Trust on such a great effort during the week, but also the continued work that they're doing around the world, really.
Around the world, yeah. Thank you.
Steve, thanks very much.
Cheers.
Absolute pleasure.
Cheers, Steve.
All the best.
Bye. Bye.